following is a Super Network production with Super Marcy.
If I could have given them that money, I would have gladly taken my cameo in the fanatic.
The terrible Australian B. Jermaine.
See, that's a version of this scene I want to see. Instead of Casey Jones, it's just Jason Voorhees.
It contains coarse language.
This movie has had two different women having two different tongues up their
mature themes.
Like, I could also imagine, like, some people at this party could also be members of the cult.
Potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Listener discretion is advised. Please find us at supermarcy.com and subscribe to us via Patreon at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy.
I can't take that tape from you. If it's unsolicited, I can't touch it.
It's not easy to break into the music business. But these three guys...
What's your secret code?
I can't tell you my code.
Just found a way.
You guys are a unsigned band, and you broke into the radio station to get your demo played on the air?
I just feel a little goofy with a water pistol.
They don't know it's a water pistol. They think it's real.
Oops! Look, all I want to do is be heard, and then we're out of here.
Okay, who are you guys?
My name's Pip.
The band. The band name. Sorry about that.
G'day everyone, this is B. Jermaine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome back to the special audio commentary edition of the Super Podcast. And this is our September fan-voted audio commentary edition. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing okay. We're still in lockdown. Don't expect that to change anytime soon whenever you listen to one of our shows.
Yeah, we're going to basically be talking about what have we been up to? Been in lockdown.
I've been in lockdown. We've just been doing our podcast preps as always and did no prep for this one. So there we go. Pretty good.
Exactly. But at least we're finding ways to keep ourselves busy in the meantime because, yes. You know, we've been recording all of our different shows. Also, we've got our 31 Days of Horror coming up very soon, and I've been working on some stuff too. And we also recently finished our top secret project as well, which we can't divulge yet. So we probably won't announce what it is until maybe early next year, but we have to get the okay about it first before we can say anything.
Yes.
Although people who we know in the know who know us probably already know what that project is, but we're not going to say what it is in public. But I've been pretty good, been keeping myself busy and sort of doing a lot of podcasting homework the last few days for other shows.
Awesome.
But I'm very excited for this episode because it's our September audio commentary. And we have a very special guest for
it. We do.
Who has never been on any of our podcasts. So he is popping his cherry on this one. And hold on one second. Hold on. There we go. Pop. There we go. And that, of course, is John Matthews. Hello, John. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've listened to your show, a number of your episodes, so I appreciate having me on. Doing okay, also in lockdown here in Sydney, but we're doing stuff like this keeps me sane, which is good. Yes. So thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's not only just podcasts, but even just getting online and just chatting and just shooting the shit as well, which we've been doing a few times in the lead up to this show. And talking about DVDs and Blu-rays because that's like been the major subject of a lot of our conversations.
Yeah, about 90%.
Exactly.
Which is good because physical media is kind of getting us through this as well. So,
Definitely. But
that is true.
But like I said, this is our September audio commentary, and for the theme of this one, we did have one theme for this month, but then we decided to change it at the last minute because we sort of brought up one specific actor who's been kind of in the news lately because it sort of reminds us of how beloved this actor is. And we thought, you know what? Let's switch things around and make him the subject of this month's audio commentary. And we decided that this month's theme would be the films of Brendan Fraser. We put out a poll on the Super Network Facebook group, which included quite a different variety of films starring Brendan Fraser, which included The Mummy, Bedazzled, Airheads, Encino Man, George of the Jungle, and the Looney Tunes back in action. And we let our like our fans and followers decide which film they wanted us to do for this episode. And the winner, to my shock, and this one went way out in the lead in terms of votes. And that, of course, is the 1994 comedy Airheads, which also stars Steve Buscemi and Adam Sandler.
Yes. I was very surprised. I just expected it'd probably be The Mummy, to be honest. But this one had lots and lots of votes. It was almost a landslide victory.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge amount of votes. I was expecting The Mummy as well, and I was legit surprised that it was Airheads. But that's the thing, though, I've noticed with a lot of our commentaries, they're either going to be the usual suspects or the ones we least suspect or ones that people don't talk, like other podcasts don't talk about as much. So I'm actually very thankful that our voters voted for this one.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who... Sorry. Let me try that again. Thank you to everyone who participates in our monthly polls and for choosing what we watch every month. And it's always an interesting selection. And I have not seen this film in years, and it's one I used to watch all the time. I'm pretty sure I had the VHS.
Same. I mean, well, maybe not the VHS, but I do remember watching this when it was on TV. Like, but I remember, like, even growing up, like, my siblings would watch this film every now and again. But what about yourself, John? When was the first time you can recall seeing Airheads?
Yeah, this was another staple of TV for me. It would play quite regularly on Australian television. So I watched it quite a bit. So that's where I discovered it. Can't remember. I think, yeah, definitely TV. I think even before we got Foxtel in my family, it used to play, I think maybe I caught it on Channel 10 or something one night. But it's just a regular favorite of mine that used to play a bit. But much like you guys, it's been quite a while since I've seen it. So, this is going to be a bit of a reevaluation.
Oh, definitely. And I have a particular reason why I watched this film, but I'll bring that up in the film because it involves a certain scene. That when I heard about the scene, I thought I had to check this movie out, but I'll bring it up in the show. But before we get to the movie, we'll lay down the ground rules, as we usually do for our audio commentary editions. If you haven't heard any of our previous audio commentary editions of the Super Podcast, first of all, how dare you? And and what you need to do is, if you have a copy of the film, whether it be on DVD or streaming somewhere, we're going to be starting the film from the very start. So we're going to count down from 5. And when I say go, that's when you play the movie. And our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. But I'm pretty sure, based on our previous commentaries, whether for this or our other show, Tubi Tuesdays, if you don't have a copy of this film, I'm sure the audio commentary will still be a fun listen to regardless. So
yes.
Let's get right to it. And Marcy and John, are you ready to become Airheads for this movie?
Oh, yeah.
I was already an Airhead, but I'll be even more of one.
Exactly. but I'm dish. But anyways, let's do this. Counting down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
And we're off.
Now, for anyone wondering where to start off, depending which copy of the film you have, it's from the 20th Century Fox logo. So that'll make it easier for anyone who's watching this film.
And then it goes straight to the credits with music paraphernalia.
A Michael Lehman film. He is the director of Heathers as well.
That's right. With Brendan Fraser. Airheads.
Oh, yeah. He didn't, Heathers didn't do particularly well, and this film I don't think did particularly well either, so he didn't really have a good run, but he's a good director.
I'm saying. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think even between Heathers and this one, I think he also did Hudson Hawk in between too, and that was like a huge flop for him as well.
Yeah.
And I think this was his first film back from that, I believe.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And already not even 5 minutes into this movie, and the credits have pretty much like gives us probably the most epic cast for a film of all time.
Yeah.
It's like a who's who of names in this film.
Ernie Hudson, who I met. Yay. Gotta brag, right?
Indeed.
I like this opening sequence with all the weird whatever they're showing.
Marshall Bell has been popping up on way too many podcasts we've been doing lately, and David Arquette, because he's been mentioned on our most recent podcasters episode, and also our episode on Stand By Me, Misery, and Dolores Claiborne. So he's just popping up everywhere.
He was previously on our commentary for, well, not him, but obviously because he's in Freddy's Revenge.
That is true.
And that was one of our commentaries last year, I believe.
Did he play the coach?
Yes. Yes. He's the one who basically gets his ass smacked by Towns.
He gets whipped in the shower. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And then in
S&M gear. Yes, that's right. Yeah. No undertones of that film at all.
No, exactly. None.
Look at Joe Montana in his hair.
And we got him again, too. Let's not forget. He was... We saw him in a couple of things, I think, recently.
Yeah, he was in
he was in Thinner.
Yeah, Thinner.
And I think there was something else, but I can't remember.
Yeah, his hair look kind of is that's lockdown hair. What he's got right there.
And let's not forget, he voices one of the greatest Simpsons characters of all time.
Oh yeah,
Fat Tony.
Yeah.
Just to show that I'm serious, you have 24 hours to get this done. Just to show I am serious, you have 12 hours.
Where is the money?
I thought this was Axl Rose for a second, but it's definitely no. It's Brendan Fraser.
I mean, look at him. He was a heartthrob.
Well, this was one of the first films he did after Encino Man, which was the film that kind of broke him out.
Which. I'm surprised that didn't win as well, because that's a fairly popular film.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Rich Wilkes, who wrote this movie, he also wrote...
What the fuck?
He also wrote XXX, the Vin Diesel movie.
Yes.
And also the Dirt as well.
Oh. That's interesting.
So it's a very... quite a variety of films he has written over the years.
This just looks like a shithole, and it's meant to be like a radio station thingy.
Indeed.
Yeah, some prestigious one.
It just looks like it really looks like a set in a in a warehouse at the moment.
It looks more like an art gallery than a recording studio.
Yeah. Like a cheap art gallery.
Yeah. Indeed.
And Brendan Fraser's hair looks like one of those hats, like you used to see the hair attached to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Jack Nelson.
Yes, that's right. He was in this too.
And he has a soul patch, which was the style at the time.
Was it ever the style at any time?
A soul patch on its own just doesn't work. Although, now that I'm being said, back in my early 20s, I used to have a soul patch, so I shouldn't be making
fun
of that.
That's the ball tickler.
Yes.
Just saying, yo.
We don't allow the Axl Rose ripoffs in this recording studio, man.
I mean, how can we not love Brendan Fraser? Just look at him.
He's so adorable.
He's the most precious human being.
Indeed. And he still is. And yeah, I'm happy that he's making a comeback now.
Yeah, definitely. That's good he's making a comeback.
Look at him. He's so cute.
Yeah, he re-emerged. Like, he came back on Doom Patrol recently, which I loved. I thought he was incredible in that. So it's good to see him finally get a resurgence.
Mm. And now he's doing. Now he's like the lead in Darren Aronofsky's next film, and also has a supporting role in Martin Scorsese's next film as well.
Brilliant.
Yes. And his girlfriend in this, she's such a bitch.
I'm surprised they didn't get Christina Applegate in this role, because that's who the actress reminds me of at the moment. I guess it would have been typecast. And she's wearing leopard print, which is like the style at the time.
See, that's a style that's always a style.
Leopard print.
At every time.
Carol Baskins is jealous of her outfit right about now. I just noticed, I was going to say, Brendan Fraser's wearing like two necklaces around his neck. That I used to do that as well. I'd have like the beach one and also like the steel one as well. I used to wear that all the time in my early 20s. I was weird. What could I say? I was trying to fit into the style at the time.
You and your styles at the time.
Indeed.
If any of our listeners want to count how many Simpsons references there are fit into this podcast, let us know, and we'll congratulate you on actually doing that.
Because all three of us are Simpsons super fans, so we're basically like just going to do a whole bunch of them throughout this whole episode.
Yeah. Pretty much.
There's so much hair on screen right about now.
This is the perfect Bede movie because there's so much hair and he doesn't have much.
Exactly.
You got to add their hair like styles to your wig collection.
I'm going to put both of them in my wig collection.
I love that it's song. Just demo.
That's what the song's called, demo.
Just demo.
That's abuse right there. Brendan Fraser should have her ass arrested.
Mm-hmm. She's so mean.
He's you threw her by... Oh, look at this. Victim.
I know. She's crazy. Great. Oh.
Jesus.
That's like thousands of dollars worth of like CDs right there.
It's Mr. Buscemi.
He was 60 at the time.
It's a bit mean. He was 58, Bede. Get it right.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, that meme with him. With the kids.
Oh, no, look at this nerd.
Oh, God. Bede's going to get so mad.
Nerd.
That dude looked like that back there looked like Beavers.
So, like Adam. Oh, sorry. You can say that.
I was going to say, like, it's Adam Sandler's, like, crop top shirt he's wearing?
That was a style at the time.
I don't get the crop tops. Like, what was the point? Nobody wants to see your belly button.
Have we ever done a Adam Sandler film as a commentary?
No, this is our first one.
And we haven't done a Brendan Fraser film before, have we? This would be the first one too, right?
I believe this would be the first one, yeah.
What about Steve Buscemi? Because I honestly don't remember. We've done a lot of audio commentaries.
I don't think we have. I mean, we might have, but I don't recall at the very present moment.
Might have to investigate.
Go back into the archives.
Yes.
This is pre-Billy Madison, I think.
I believe so, yeah, because Billy Madison came out in 95 and this is 94, so...
Oh, yes, yeah. So...
But I don't know if this was around the time when Adam Sandler was still on Saturday Night Live or he got fired.
I think it could have been close. I love the band name. In the most unironic way. I'm just saying.
And I like how that their band name gets brought up as like a joke thing in the movie.
I mean, to be fair.
Yes. Also, remember the crash test dummy toys?
Yes.
That was a weird trend in the 90s.
Wait a second, that's not a dummy.
Okay,
this exhibition is over.
He was still on SNL.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay,
he left in 95, apparently.
Yep.
So there you go. Oh, Stretch Armstrong.
There's a lot of toys in here.
Well, his character works at the toy store.
Yes.
And the other one is like a pool person.
Yeah, a pool person, yeah. He's a pool boy.
He's a pool
boy. You could say Adam Sandler is a water boy.
Oh, fuck off. Freddie, we're trying to do a podcast. You need to scratch at the chair. Is it a podcast recording without interference from my dog? No.
I know. Or at least someone brings it up as we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
That's Joe Montana's "I just got out of bed 5 minutes ago" look.
There's a movie on? He's good, Joe. Like, I think he's I think he's a bit of an underrated actor. Like when he's with does stuff with David Mamet, he's just really good.
He's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. But he's great here as well, whatever he does.
Definitely have a soft spot for Michael McKean.
Why does the lead singers of every band look like Axl Rose? It's creeping me out.
Why is he wearing a tiki mask?
I don't know. I also find it weird because this was around the time when grunge was huge, but a lot of the bands kind of feel like, you know, the hair metal bands in the late 80s, early 90s.
I was about to say like 80s glam hair metal, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It kind of crossed over a bit, so you had sort of a mixture of those looks.
Mm.
Yeah, but people say the early 90s Nirvana was the turning point, but so I thought at this point 94 would have completely gone away, but I don't know. Interesting.
I don't think that, like how they're dressed and stuff, that people still dress like that.
Mm.
And it's not like it's gone out of fashion, but, you know, as a kid, if you saw me dressed up, you would have thought I was, you know, a member of fucking Nirvana or Pearl Jam.
Mm.
I had long hair anyway, but I used to dress exactly like I was in a grunge band. So, isn't it amazing how not annoying Adam Sandler is right now?
Yeah, I know. This is considered a dramatic performance from him.
Yeah, it's a very chilled performance from him.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I think they actually all have, like, good chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
Yes.
Which I think actually elevates this a lot. Because if they didn't, you wouldn't, like, feel connected to them that we do. Like, we are actually on their side.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, remember handheld games?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the big ones. These weren't like, you know, Game Boys. These were like those handheld games where it was just like the one game.
Yeah.
I remember having one like an NBA one where it was like basically like that was the only.
Yeah, I had those. But I think what she had, you put cartridges in there, but I can't think of what it's called.
I think that's maybe a Sega.
Yeah, I think it's a portable Sega thing. Sega, whatever you call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were very bulky, those ones.
Mm. Yes, they were.
I wonder that this started, like, the friendship between Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi. Because, you know, they've done a lot of movies
together. Oh, yeah, they're pretty close, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was this the first time they'd worked together in a film?
I think so, yeah.
Would be, yeah.
But did they have any ties, like, before this film, or
no, not really, because Adam Sandler had SNL and Steve Buscemi for a number of years was just an actor.
Mm.
So maybe they just got on so well in this film and became fast friends, and they're still working together now.
Yeah, because it just becomes a running joke now. You expect Buscemi to show up in Adam Sandler film,
no matter what it is. Yeah,
I mean, Steve Buscemi could like go star in the most critically acclaimed films, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm going to pop up in the next Adam Sandler comedy or something like that.
But you notice he's never shit, though. It could be the shittiest film, but he's still good in it.
Yep. Always plays it straight. Like, takes it very serious, the role.
I mean, he's only in, like, The Wedding Singer in a couple of scenes, but he's, like, so memorable and funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He was even in the most recent Adam Sandler comedy, Hubie Halloween. He was in that too. And of course, he gives 110% committed to his bizarre performance in that film. Oh, look, it's 90s Juno Temple.
Fucking hell.
That's who.
You know, if these guys just put their brain power that they've put into breaking into this radio station into literally anything else, someone might have listened to their demo tape already.
Because that's basically their plan, is to sneak into the radio and hide their demo tape amongst the whole pile of demo tapes.
They just want their poor demo tape to be listened to.
Exactly.
And it's interesting because, yeah, once again, just the time frame, you'd realize, like, you know, in the 90s, like, now you could just put anything out there on YouTube. But back then, it was such a...
It was very much reliant. Hey, look, it's that racist asshole.
Michael Richards.
Good old Michael Richards. There he is.
Now, there's somebody who basically, after his racist tirade in the mid-2000s, nobody ever heard from him again. Like, I know he's still working, but nothing high profile.
No. He done fucked up, kid.
Throw his ass out.
Why does he look like Eugene Levy in this scene?
I don't know, but he does.
Yeah.
They couldn't get Eugene Levy, so they got him. And that moustache is freaking me out.
It is. I don't like it.
It's not even, like, look at it. If you look at it properly, it's not even trimmed properly because one side's lower than the other.
What are you doing? Do you have a magnifying glass on his moustache?
These are things I noticed because I have, when I've shaved my beard, shaved it down into a mode to see what it looks like. And I can definitely tell, like, one side looks weirder than the other.
They just walk in like, hey, how's it going? What's up? You don't look like losers. You know what's a 90s movie is when they reference a show from the 70s.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Like, a lot of films coming out lately, like, one of the main criticism, like, is, like, when they show, like, make references to old films and all that, and one of the big criticisms I always read is, like, why are they putting these references to old movies and stuff, and kids today are not going to get it? And I'm like, well, when I was a kid, like, those same references were in movies all the time, and somehow I still got them, or when I got older, I got the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. People forget. People have short-term memory, if that.
Hmm. But you're right, though, because, like, a lot of movies in the 90s made references to movies or TV shows in the 70s.
Yeah. I guess because it was still part of pop culture, but now it seems like I said, but with the streaming generation, like, it's trying to erase anything before 2010. Like, it doesn't exist. Just
exactly.
Yeah.
All the new content. But back then, there was still a love for making references to the past.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, if you're watching a movie as a kid, I mean, yeah, you won't get the reference, but when you get older, I'm like, what is this referring to? And then you kind of look back and like, oh, it's like half the time, like, The Simpsons at the time, they make references to shit I'd never even heard of or seen before, and then I watch them later, and I'm like, oh, that's what they're referencing and stuff like
that. Yeah, the same, because sometimes my mum would have to explain, like, oh, that's from... like an old show and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's because as a kid, I just had no idea.
It's like I was saying to someone a while back. I think I knew the entire plot of Psycho just from references on The Simpsons alone.
Yeah.
Even before I even
could stitch them all together.
Exactly.
I feel like it was almost like that with, like, The Shining.
Yes.
Yeah.
I probably saw that episode of The Simpsons about The Shining even before, way before seeing the movie.
Same. I think I saw it before the actual movie.
Yeah, I feel like that was a thing.
Also, remember those type of lamps as well? The ones with the
glitter ones, yeah. They were all the rage in the 90s. And then they tried to bring back lava lamps and stuff.
I actually had a lava lamp growing up. I loved my lava lamp. They were cool.
They're still popular today.
Yeah.
Actually, what's only starting to make a comeback, which was big in the late 90s, was the blow-up furniture.
Yeah.
But it's not as pretty as it used to be. I used to love my blow-up furniture.
See, what people don't realise is this movie is actually the sequel to Reservoir Dogs, and Steve Buscemi's character is Mr. Pink.
Yes.
This is what happened during the heist.
Yes.
This is the actual heist.
This is the heist.
This was actually the side heist he went on.
Bam, bam, bam.
Did he just call him a penis? Or it says penis, but how Brendan Fraser pronounced penis was penis.
A penis head?
Yeah.
Bede, you're a penis head.
No. Exactly.
Oh, giddy up.
He has well, a fake ponytail.
Well, this escalated quickly.
Yep. What's a butt puppet?
90s slang.
I'm pretty sure they just made it up as they went along.
Well, pretty much like Clueless, like a lot of the sort of the slang in that was all made up for the movie. And then it became like vernacular after that.
Yes. But why wouldn't it?
Also, like how Judd Nelson's suit looks like it's like 10 sizes too big.
Yeah,
for him.
Those double-breasted suits always looked 10 sizes too big. I don't know why they were ever in fashion. I do not like those suits at all. So funny, I'm remembering this movie as the more I see, I'm like, oh, yep, I remember this bit, blah, 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 blah.
Same.
It's like, yep, that was it. And then this is going to happen later. There's one problem. He doesn't have the tape, does he?
Look at the size of that demo.
Oh no, he's got the tape. Something happens to it, doesn't it?
Hmm.
Oh yeah, no, they needed the cassette. Reel.
Yeah.
It's in the ex-girlfriend's car. That's like, you know, going to someone and be like, oh, here's my new movie. And then they are like, oh, is it on YouTube or whatever? And you're like, no, it's on this. And you give them like a Betamax tape.
It's Reggie Coffey. He's one of those actors who's been in everything and sadly he passed away recently. No. So I think he might have... I mean, I might have to look up what he's been on, but I know he's been in a lot of stuff I've seen. Like he was in, he was like on the second season of Luke Cage, and also he was like in, he was in the 2015 Fantastic Four movie.
Ooh.
All right, what else has he been in? I think, let's see, Reggie Coffey. What has he else has he been in? Well, he was in a House of Cards, The Wire. He was in that.
Good in that.
Yeah, and he passed away a couple of years ago. Well, you know, this scene doesn't really sort of like surprise me, especially like even though, yeah, the gang have got water pistols, but at the time, water pistols had the same coloring as actual guns. And there was stuff in the news where people would hold up places where...
Yeah, I think that stuff caused a lot of controversy and they had to change it.
Yeah, so they made
the little orange tips on them. Yeah,
yeah, and also just made you know, either bright colours and stuff like that so people can tell the difference between the two.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of ironic Michael McKean's in this movie, given that he was also in This is Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap, yeah, I was just thinking. Music comedy.
Exactly. Classic of classics.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello, my name is Pip, and I'm a British person. Oh, wait, sorry.
Salute you, our half-inflated devil lord.
You're not exactly lone. Shouldn't you be the Three Rangers? No idea what you're saying. This is like trying to explain something to Bede. No, I'm kidding.
No. Ian the Shark.
So next time Bede makes a movie, he's gonna give it to like a big time, like distributor on a Betamax tape.
Exactly, or even a Laserdisc.
On a Laserdisc.
I want you to play my
their office. until they play it.
And then actually write a script and put it on a floppy disk.
Yes. Well, uh-oh. Their demo's ruined.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
And it's on fire.
You gotta have more than just one shitty demo tape, guys. Yep,
pull let's try some beer on it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it's not whiskey.
Here, run!
We didn't tell them our days. It should be good.
Oh, it's the inbreeding. Wow. That's not a line I would have picked up on as a kid, I'm sure.
Uh-oh.
Oh, so some cops there. Shit's about to get real. Why does he wear his fucking pool cleaning beanie?
That's the only hat he has.
Does he need to wear a hat, though?
I don't know. hi, I'm just randomly walking out of this studio. Yep. I didn't do anything wrong.
He's still pretty pissed off him for I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yes.
I said that completely wrong, but whatever. I can't pronounce words.
If I go to jail, like Kevin... I fucked up that joke.
You're going to have to do better than that.
Yeah, I know. I forgot the person's name. And I'm like, damn it. I can't do the joke now. And she's still there playing her game.
Well, wouldn't you be?
And she's just sitting there going, like, I'm staying out of this shit.
Oh, dear Lord.
David Arquette in his hair.
What is up with that bleached blonde hair?
That blonde hair is way too bleached.
What is he wearing?
That's a pajama bottom is what he was wearing.
I think you need to wear that outfit, Bean.
I think I might have to.
Oh, I can't. It looks like he's got pubes on his face. I don't like it.
I was going to say, it doesn't look straight. They look like pubes.
Ugh. Gross.
Do we?
Can I be a wrestler?
He could be whatever he wanted to be.
Exactly. Don't worry, just wait 6 more years. He'll be a world champion in no time. And of course, my favorite cliche, people just wandering through the air ducts.
I don't think they're big enough to fit humans in them.
Oh, no, it's not possible for any humans to fit
through air ducts. Always. Yeah. Just waiting for the Seinfeld theme now. Ding, ding. Plays Kramer in every movie.
Exactly. Pretty much.
Yeah. Always clumsy.
I'm really now convinced that Brendan Fraser's hair is actually a wig.
I don't know. Did he have long hair then?
I don't know.
Is there any trivia or?
I'm going to look this up because I'm very curious now.
You haven't done any trivia yet.
Well, I'm going to.
Well, hurry up and do it.
His real hair.
You're the trivia man, Bede.
Well, interesting enough, first bit of trivia I see that's popped up, Brendan Fraser wasn't originally meant to play this role.
Oh.
John Cusack was supposed to originally play the
part. That would have been weird.
I would believe Brendan Fraser more than John Cusack.
Yeah, I can't picture John Cusack, like, playing that in the way that suits this film and the tone of this film.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Mm.
And I just can't really see John Cusack playing an airhead.
Mm.
Let me see.
No.
Yeah, it could work. They just have very different styles of humor as well. Like, yeah. I think.
Let me see. Still haven't seen anything about Brendan Fraser's hair yet.
Oh, well, any other interesting trivia facts for this movie? Well, we don't know if they're facts, because, you know.
Yep.
Not everything you read on the internet is true.
That is true.
It's the police.
Some useless trivia. This was the last film to use the old school painted 20th Century Fox logo before it went CGI.
Oh yeah, I'd see that on here right now.
Yes, that's very interesting.
Did not know that, actually.
All CG.
I would not have known that either.
Well, Amy Locate, who plays Brendan Fraser's girlfriend, this is actually the second time they've played love interests in a movie. They were also played love interests in School Ties.
Yep.
It's been a while since I've seen that too.
That movie might have been way too serious for this poll, but
yes, it's a very serious film.
Indeed.
With bitchy Matt Damon's.
Exactly. There should be like a competition who has like the weirdest hair in this scene.
I think he wins out. No, actually, maybe David Arquette, because it's just weird.
I know.
I just can't handle it.
I honestly think that's Steve Buscemi's real hair. That looks real.
It does.
Yeah, I think he's probably the only one with, yeah, like real hair.
I mean, try and find a picture of Brendan Fraser in 93, 94 that was like a normal photo and see if he had long hair.
I
don't know.
That's sort of the research I'm doing for this podcast.
I mean, I'm sure it probably is a wig, but I actually have no idea. I can't tell.
Okay, let me see. 93.
I mean, sometimes it's really obvious if it is, but I don't know. Right.
Brendan Fraser, 94. Well, I'm saying one where he has shoulder length hair.
Okay.
It kind of looks like it.
She threw it out. Oh, no,
she threw out the demo.
I do remember. I think a dog takes a piss on the tape.
We hear this is going to be a party.
Okay, why is everyone there?
Oh, hi, Ernie Hudson.
Chris Farley.
Yeah, rest in peace. I'm trying to see. It looks like, I don't know, I found an article from 94. It looks like an actual interview with Brendan Fraser at the time from the Oklahoman. And it's saying that he's saying that the hair was, well, the journalists are saying that the hair is real. Like, it's in Airheads Fraser's sport flowing long hair. It's typical of the guys on Sunset Boulevard. And Fraser's pretty much confirming it is his hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he did have that, didn't he have that long hair for George of the Jungle?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yes, he did. He did, yeah.
And did he have long hair in Encino Man?
I believe so, yeah. But it was more like shoulder length, so it wasn't like down, it is here.
So yeah, potentially that was his real hair.
Yeah.
I like this is where we go with this commentary.
Yes, because we spent 10 minutes talking about his hair.
Whether it's his real hair or not.
Exactly.
I mean, we need to know these things, right?
Exactly.
Like, hello. So is that a real Ernie Hudson, or was that his body double?
That is totally his body double. Mm. His body double's name is Ernie Hudson.
I love that's the picture of his girlfriend.
Real
Jesus, why did he ask her that?
Do you want to know why they don't like you, Adam Sandler? Asking questions like that.
Yeah. He's a bit of a dick.
He's a dumbass, let's just say.
His character is a fucking idiot.
I know he's trying to mean well, but he's actually pretty racist. Probably not intentionally, but...
What a wanker.
Unintentionally, yes.
What a fucking wanker.
That is why he's in my head.
I love how they're like heroes to everyone.
Yes. This is what I'm going to do. Like, after this podcast, I'm going to go find a radio station, hold it up, and then become a hero.
You know what was the other really, like, the other kind of radio-related show that I watched a lot growing up was Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, yeah.
With Christian Slater and his illegal underground radio station.
Everybody in the 90s watched that movie. That's why it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. Once again, pre-internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're going to need to do a Christian Slater month.
Yes.
And do all six films that are on the podcast.
Cuffs. Yes. Yeah. they just made a reference to The Simpsons just then.
Oh, really? I missed it. What was it?
It's like we got... Get home in time to watch The Simpsons.
Oh.
Of course I can make that reference, because at the time, this was a 20th Century Fox production, so... Mm.
Yes, yeah. Simpsons would have been its fifth season?
It would have been its fourth or fifth, I think.
Fourth or fifth, yeah. Because it's weird, because Simpsons, like, technically, 89 was the first episode, but it was right on the cusp of 89 and 90.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And obviously, yeah, Seinfeld would have been big then, so...
Yeah, it would have been in its fourth or fifth season as well, around this time, too.
Yeah,
when did Seinfeld start?
I think 89 or 90.
Yeah, around the same time.
I honestly don't remember.
I think it might have been 89, because technically, even though some
people... I used to do this all the time. Just stick my finger up at people, do a dance, and walk off, because I saw this movie.
Exactly.
I mean, I used to give people the finger, but doing it that way is just more, like, you know, it's cooler.
He's your role model, Buscemi.
He is.
Well, according to trivia, this movie was the first one that saw Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi
together. So that's together. This is where they met?
And
Yeah, because I'm thinking it, because, yeah, like, Buscemi was in some pretty... dramatic roles before this, so
Now I'm just curious on how many projects they've done together now. I might have
actually, Bede, too. We have done a film with Steve Buscemi.
Have we?
A Tubi Tuesdays.
Oh, that's right. We did Xanderly.
He was in Xanderly.
Nice.
It was all coming back to me now. It's all coming back.
I was just about to sing the exact same thing, but you did it first.
I can't sing. My voice is gone.
I don't know if I can take Adam Sandler's character seriously when his name's Pip.
He's going to stab their heads off with his dick.
Ew. He's been watching way too much of Serbian film.
Bit rich for someone who's too scared to watch it.
I am scared to watch that movie. Although I did watch a movie recently that had a scene that has that's similar to the infamous scene in that movie.
Ew. Marshall Bell!
I possibly think what that could be. Oh, there is.
That damn Marshall Bell.
And which scene in particular and what other movie did you watch?
It was from Fantasia, but I don't want to give away what the movie is and what the scene is.
Oh, okay.
I'll say what the movie was, but I won't say what scene it was. It's a film called The Sadness.
Okay.
It has a pretty quote-unquote eye-opening scene.
Oh, I see.
Let's see. I'm going to look in how many movies Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi have done together. So give me.
Yeah, I had a look, and apparently I found an article saying 9, but once again, this could be an old article.
Mm. It feels like it would be more, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it too.
Yeah, let me see. So I've got.
I like how just mean Marshall Bell is. What?
Wow.
Does he? What does he think this is? Night Killer and the men's bathroom?
Indeed.
Yeah, this is actually one of my favourite scenes in the movie. Was the dialogue between him and Michael Richards. It's always just cracked me up. Like throughout the movie, just keeping in contact.
What a fucking wanker. This is their, like, diehard, not rip-off, that's not what I'm going for, parody type of thing.
Yeah.
And stuff. Blah. I know what I mean in my head, but not always. Yeah, radio station, do your job. Put the fucking music on. Hey guys, remember CDs?
Yeah, before that streaming music.
Mm.
Exactly.
Napster was what was the downfall? All
right.
That opened up the floodgates.
Yeah.
Okay, I keep fucking up the numbers, but I think Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi have done probably somewhere between 12 to 15 movies together.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it might be that, because I keep fucking up the numbers, but I know, like because I'm looking at Steve Buscemi's Wikipedia page, so.
Mm.
So it's somewhere between 12 to 15, probably close to 15.
Yeah. Mm. That would make sense.
That's when you know you're like really great friends, when you want to do like 15 movies together.
He just calls him up for like a cameo. And he's happy to do it, because that's what friends are for.
Exactly. Although Steve Buscemi has never asked Adam Sandler to do a cameo in any of his movies.
That's because he knows better.
Well, that is true.
Yeah. Adam Sandler should have showed up on Boardwalk Empire. That would have been...
How wicked would that have been? Let's be real. That would have been sick.
I think it would have been awesome, like, being a host of a radio show. I almost did at one point, because we had, like, community radio back where I used to live in Cobar.
Mm.
And one of my mates was on it, and I used to hang out in the little studio there with him and just putting on music and stuff. So, And I almost did as well. So it would have been cool.
Well, it is funny. Despite everything in this day and age, radio has not gone anywhere. It's still
there, yeah.
It's still a big thing, you know.
Yeah, it's even in a, like, I mean, they have adapted now to a streaming form, but it is still there, yeah.
Yeah, and you get a lot of, what's it called, like digital radio stuff.
Yes, yeah.
When growing up, there was like 5 stations. And it'd be like...
It's the Beavis and Butthead cameo. Okay, now this was the scene that made me want to watch the film, because I was a huge Beavis and Butthead fan, and I heard that they had a voice cameo in this movie, and that was the reason why I found it. And that is there. Like, that's why Judge doing the
voice. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
I remember because, like, I would say I'm still like a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. Mm. I had everything. I even had the script to Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Jesus,
and I even remember the time, like, there was a lot of, like, you know, like, I remember the sitcom Step by Step had characters who were meant to be a parody of Beavis and Butthead. Oh. I like how they basically had to blur out him just, like, touching his crotch.
Yeah. None of this is remotely plausible. Give me a break.
And also, like, you know, this whole hostage situation would have been done and over within 5 minutes. Blah! And he broke his neck and died.
He died on the way back to his home planet.
Yes. Make more noise, dude, like trying to walk away. Oh, it's my cousin Rainer. It says Lard Rainer something something.
I have no idea. Bed. I didn't see.
I'm just getting this. Well, somebody's left the ice cream out and a hot dog. That ice cream's probably all, like, milky by now.
Like how psyche thinks it's fucking therapist.
Yeah, this always cracks me up.
Yeah.
Between these two.
It's fucking funny.
Also, like, Michael Richards is, like, eating a lot in that scene, but I suppose, like, in real life, if your adrenaline's really pumping, you just get really hungry and you need to eat something.
Mm. Oh, look, Adam Sandler finally put a shirt on.
Why wasn't Matthew McConaughey in this movie? All right. I'm going to be a rock star and take my shirt off.
He could have worked in this, too.
He probably could. I mean, he was only just starting out at the time, so. Mm. I suppose he probably wasn't a huge name at this point. Because, like, I mean, Brendan Fraser had, like, Encino Man, School Ties, and there was probably one other movie in there somewhere, and, of course, then he made this one.
Yeah, that's right. I think what McConaughey was, Days and Confused, I think, was a year before this, or probably would have been around.
Yeah.
93, yeah. And he wasn't as big of a name yet.
So. Yeah.
But he would have been perfect.
He would have. He could have just reprised his role from Texas Chainsaw, A New Generation, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he could just came in with a robot leg and...
Yeah.
Exactly. And just a precursor, he just comes in with fried chicken like Killer Joe. Oh, yeah, now I remember because, like, Michael McKean's character kind of wants to change everything at this radio station.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
To play easy listening music.
It's like, it's like wanting to change, like, Triple J into Smooth FM.
Mm.
That tape is withstanding a lot.
To be fair, tapes were pretty strong.
A lowrider.
Yeah.
Yes. A lowrider just... That's right.
I think they start finding the shit, don't they? There it is.
There we go. Relax to the sounds of the brain.
Similar, another movie, was it FM from the 70s, which was about a radio station that they didn't want to sell out, so they kind of take over the station. It's it's a really good film. It's quite interesting, but there's a lot of similarities between this and FM.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially, it ends up like this. There's a massive crowd outside the station. They kind of take it. But,
there's way too many blonde in the scene. There was like a lot of people with blonde hair.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same inside.
Oh look, it's White Zombie.
Yeah. Rob Zombie. Now, apparently the trivia was saying that Cannibal Corpse is meant to be in this role, but they opted for White Zombie.
Yeah, well, I think originally they were going to do it, but Jim Carrey asked him to be in Ace Ventura because, like, Jim Carrey's, like, a huge Cannibal Corpse fan.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they went and did that movie, and they got White Zombie for this movie.
Ah.
Mosh Pit.
There he is.
Yeah. Oh, Zombie.
It was in that moment he was like, I'm going to make House of 1,000 Corpses.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then do Halloween remakes.
Oh, you want those shorts, don't you?
Yes. Well, pretty much Airheads is like the comedy version of House of 1,000 Corpses.
It is, really. Like, let's be real.
Exactly.
Who's Captain Spaulding?
Obviously, David Arquette.
Yeah. No. David Arquette would be fucking Bill Moseley in that movie. And he'd just be
Actually, Steve Buscemi would be Captain Spaulding.
Yeah, he just has to say titties a lot.
I haven't seen that for ages. I do like that movie.
And The Devil's Rejects is great as well.
I do need to watch the other Rob Zombie movies, and I know people don't like him and blah blah blah. Shut up. I just want to watch it and see. It's how I make up my own mind, bitches.
Yes. I didn't mind Three from Hell, but everyone hated that.
I actually think his best movie is The Lords of Salem.
Which I'll be watching for 31 Days of Horror.
Because that was it was a Rob Zombie film, but it was like at the same time was very different from anything else he had done.
Yeah, it was more like a European, Euro sort of horror.
But
bitch. There we go.
How did you know it was me? I've seen your ass.
You know what? For the amount of times I have seen this and School Ties, and I never realized that was the same chick.
I'm trying to remember because I know I've seen Amy Locane in other stuff before. Like, I know
she looks so different in this.
What else has she been in? Oh, she was in Crybaby. She was the lead in Crybaby.
Holy shit, yes.
Yep.
And
this is like our second movie with her.
Yeah.
For a fan voted commentary because we did Crybaby earlier this year.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this is how my brain doesn't work. I mean, I've forgotten Chris Farley was in this movie.
Well, it's
same here.
Like, I'm just looking on Amy Locane's, Wikipedia page.
Oh!
Her legal issues section is, huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's got a lot of DUI kind of stuff on there.
Shit.
Oof.
Back to the nerds.
Holy shit, she was indicted for aggravated manslaughter and assault by an automobile.
Jesus, and when was that?
2010, and then in...
Shit, that was not that long ago.
In 2012, she was convicted of a vernacular... homicide and assault by auto. Shit. Oh, she served she served a couple of years and then was released on parole in 2015.
Let's hope she's doing better. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's just the first half of her legal issues page.
Fuck me dead.
There's more stuff on here, but it will take a whole podcast. That's
icing on the cake.
Exactly.
When was the last thing?
Earlier this year.
Oh, fucking hell. What happened?
Let's see. Oh. In September 17, 2020, Locane was sentenced to 8 years in New Jersey State Prison after a judge agreed with prosecutors that Locane's initial sentence was too lenient.
Oh.
And new state laws required to serve more than 6 years being eligible for parole. So she went back to jail.
Shit.
After she was on parole because of her thing.
Jesus.
Like, there's more stuff here.
That's nuts.
Yeah, there's a whole thing here. Like, it's huge. Like, I'm only taking certain bits and pieces, but you've read the whole thing. Mm. It's insane.
Jesus.
A whole rap sheet.
Who would have thought out of
that? Connected the dots, my God.
Yeah. But, I knew the name Amy Locane, and I picture
Bea. I know, it's like, yeah. Oh my God, naked pictures of Bea Arthur.
I mean, well, to be fair, Bea Arthur was the sexiest Golden Girl. Well, okay. next to Rue McCallahan.
I mean, weren't they all just the best? Hello.
And also that sexy things of Betty White. Real.
You're forgetting about the sexiest one.
Oh, yes.
Estelle Getty.
I mean, what?
Was anyone more sassy than Sophia?
Nope.
Exactly.
I try to live my life as if I was Sophia. And according to her IMDb page, Amy Locane has not been in a movie since 2005 and a TV show since 2005 as well.
Okay. Was that maybe when these troubles started, or?
I think a couple of years afterwards.
Well, she really looks uncomfortable there.
Seriously, if this movie was remade today, that would totally be Juno Temple in that role.
And who would be the Adam Sandler?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, it'd have to be a Pete Davidson or someone like that. That's who I'd reckon.
All right, you got to cast everyone with modern actors. Like, who would play them if this was made today?
Ooh.
Say they, you know, they held YouTube hostage or something.
Okay. I'm just trying to think who would play Brendan Fraser, because I don't know any other actor who is as sweet as innocent as he is.
Well, no one's like him.
We'll just recast him again. Yeah. I have to really think about this. And Marshall Bell could just reprise his role.
Well, yeah, that's a given. To be fair, so could Ernie Hudson.
That is true. Look at that picture.
Look at him.
His real name's Chester. What a nerd.
Such a dick.
Relatable. Somehow this is still relevant. Selling ads on the during airtime.
Yep, skippable ads.
Exactly. I don't know how Michael Richards is staying so well hidden throughout this whole movie.
With all the food he's eating.
Yeah.
This is the real reason Bede likes this movie.
Yes.
It gives him hope that the loser gets laid.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's so mean to me.
Is it a podcast if I don't make fun of you?
Probably not, but then people are probably going to be wondering.
Come on, who doesn't want to be a young Adam Sandler?
Exactly.
Pool boy.
Exactly.
He's a pool boy. He must be really dangerous.
Exactly. I mean, have you ever met pool boys? I mean, they walk around with poles so they can hurt you. That's just a stick-on tattoo. How is that the Grim Reaper?
I have no idea what it is.
That tattoo is a mess. That would be on, like, what is it, that... What's that? Oh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can't think of what they're called.
The TV show.
Yeah, where they fix the tattoos.
Yeah, but there's also another one, too, like Ink Masters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I gotta record a record so I don't be a nerd anymore.
Bede, leave the poor nerds alone. It's not their fault.
I'll leave Brendan Fraser alone and just stop the nerds.
You're just so mean to those poor nerds.
You know what the ironic thing is? All these people who are like punk rockers and hair metal rockers and all that, they're probably all like Republicans now. Right-wing Republicans. You're like, COVID isn't real.
Jesus.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. I have to ask them all their stance on current issues to find out.
Exactly.
No, Brendan Fraser is so adorable.
I like this is a shark attached to the microphone for no reason.
That's because he's the big shark or whatever his name was before. Yes,
that's right. That is right. Rock and roll! Where's the Alice Cooper cameo? This movie needs an Alice Cooper cameo. I suppose he did his quota for the last few, for that few years with the Wayne's World movies.
Well, plus he was Freddy's dad.
Well, that is true.
I mean, who else would have been Freddy Krueger's dad?
Ready for your beating, boy? Yeah.
Don't mind me, I'm just headbanging. I can't headbang because I have no hair to headbang with.
Yeah. Hey, remember what it was like to actually be around other people?
I know, right? They're not
separated by a computer.
Yes. They're totally not social distancing right now.
Where's the face mask?
Yeah. It's so not accurate at all.
Let's just give the guy a gun.
Yeah, a real gun. Like that kind of gun.
See, this is kind of like a weird, like, spit on Die Hard. Michael Richards is the Riddler's role.
But, like, why wouldn't the cops have just gone through that air vent where he was? Or sneak him out?
And also, like, you know, the doors aren't, like, you know, guarded or anything like that. You can just go in. I suppose, you know, they think they've got real weapons, so they have to take extra precautions.
Hmm. Nah!
Oh no, somebody watched the latest Adam Sandler movie. Also, how dare you have sex with a bra on? This is a PG-13 movie. I have to leave my bra on.
I like that he's just worried about the couch.
To be fair, when you have a new couch, you do worry about getting anything on the couch. I'm like that on my couch.
That is way too much Adam Sandler than I ever needed to see.
Yeah, his beanie is barely covering his parts right now. Oh my gosh, they cut the power.
Now we need the disco lights to come in and Edna and Seymour will dance. I mean, wait, that's The Simpsons.
How can they cut the power? They're only animals, man. My aliens reference. Chaz. No, I'm Joe Montana, not Chaz Palminteri.
I'd have called him a Chazwaza.
Oh, it's Hal Ramis. The late, great Hal Ramis.
Oh, yeah.
So there's two Ghostbusters in this movie.
How cute.
Ah, forgot he was in it.
I had a falling out with Bill Murray, and I need a new act.
Jesus. What's a Marky Mark?
You see, back in the early 90s, there was this guy named Marky Mark, who years later would become Mark Wahlberg.
You forgot that he had a Funky Bunch.
Oh, that is true. He had his own band called a Funky Bunch. I'm just loving it. Like, this movie, like, totally is a product of its time. It is like a time capsule of everything that was going on in 1994.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I thought I was, with the Beavis and Butthead thing, I thought that maybe MTV had some involvement, but I realized it's not non-MTV movie. They weren't making movies at this stage. It's, because it feels like a MTV movie for some reason.
I don't think they started till like the late 90s, maybe?
Yeah, late 90s, yeah.
I think their first movie they produced was Joe's Apartment in 96.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
And then followed by Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, Does America, yeah. Because it just has that sort of vibe, but they've really got an involvement with it.
Yeah, I suppose, like, if 20th Century Fox didn't pick up the script, like, this movie probably would have been made by MTV a few years later.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But I suppose, like, they had to make it at the time because by, I guess, 96 or 97, hair metal or grunge was on its way out, so...
It would have been too late, yeah. It is a product of its time, but it's interesting because, like, we just, you know, studios will not make movies like this anymore.
That's and now they bring up Rodney King.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
They're just cheering for him for some reason.
Yeah, talk about product of its time.
Yeah.
I would have liked to sort of notice, like, the like they just made a joke there, like the one African American guy who's like, who's Rodney King? He's that guy, you know.
Oh, finally.
Oh, well, at least she admits it. Yeah. I like how he sort of emphasizes just like, Chester!
Mm-hmm. I like how no one knows his name.
You'd have to be really unfortunate if your parents named you Chester. It's like Norman. Or Nigel.
He played Dungeons and Dragons!
Hey, you know, Vin Diesel would make it cool a couple of years later.
No.
Chester Copperpot.
Bede, there's a nerd for you.
Hey, that's Lemmy!
That's Lemmy!
Lemmy would show up in like every Troma movie as well.
Yes. They should have just had like, now that Lemmy was in the background, they should have just got like cameos from a lot of hard rockers in the in
this yeah, scene. I like that they did had some in there. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
Yes. It's hip to be a square. Oh, wait, wrong movie.
Damn it, where was my Huey Lewis cameo?
Yeah, why wasn't Huey Lewis? I mean, he wasn't cool enough for this movie. Or he would have been too cool for this movie. I don't know.
Maybe he was too cool.
They're all suffering from, what is it, Stendhal syndrome? Like they've... Stockholm syndrome, sorry. No, sorry, that was a Dario Argento movie. I'm talking about Stockholm syndrome.
What did you call it?
Stendhal syndrome. Oh. No, that was a Dario Argento movie. I apologize. I'm in Stockholm syndrome because everyone's like, yeah, we got to get these guys on the radio. It's like, no, you've been groomed into thinking that.
But this is the thing. It's like you actually like and enjoy the characters that you're on their side.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You want them to succeed.
Yeah. You're not Johnny Depp, slap.
Jesus.
Okay, she's gone back to being a bitch again. I love you, but I hate you right now.
Wow, she's can just ha huh, see.
Oh, snap!
You're just a biatch.
Me and my hair are gonna come back for revenge.
She's not happy.
Uh oh. See, if this was made today, that glass would be bulletproof.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to break it with a chair.
Exactly.
No. She's just so mean to him.
See,
stood up for himself.
See, Chaz doesn't need this bullshit. He doesn't need this abusive woman in his life. He needs to kick it to the curb and find happiness.
You will find happiness with a new love.
Exactly. It'll be Rachel Weisz.
Several years later.
I don't like this relationship. It's freaking me out.
No, I don't like it either. It's very toxic. Stop forgiving.
Exactly. It's a very toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to last.
No.
And they're kissing, it's like two giant handballs, like, making out with each other.
It from the Addams Family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they brought it up, a Captain America arcade game. Look.
Yes. They've got everything there. What is going on?
So I'll take that back. That's Captain America and the Avengers arcade game.
Yes, it is. Oh, my God. Like, is this a side plot we really needed, at least in terms of Michael Richards?
Basically, this movie is Die Hard, but set from the point of view of the terrorists rather than John McClane. And if what if John McClane was a nerd? And also, Michael McKean is licking that, like, door handle.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's just not being a dick.
Exactly. That up there is supposed to be Satan. Another Simpsons reference.
We salute you.
Yes.
There will be no encore. Good night, Sheldon.
Oh, that was all their demands.
Ah.
Duh. I haven't seen this for so long.
I forgot that too. There's so much I've forgotten. Little bits and
yeah.
So many faces in this movie, I literally forgot.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like
Chris
crazy.
Harley. I didn't even realize Chris Harley was in it.
I forgot all about it.
Uh-oh, their ruse has been...
Uh-oh. Oh!
I like how they sort of change on a dime. Like, they're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we support you guys. And then once they realize those guns, they're like, fuck you guys, we're out of here.
My eyes.
He wasn't supposed to get pudding in it. Oh, God, Marshall Bell's pissed. You know what movie he's really good in?
What's that?
Twins.
That is true, yeah.
As the bad guy.
Yeah. Also really good in his small role in Starship Troopers as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's always awesome, Marshall Bell.
He is. Even when he plays two twin brothers for some reason in some random episode of Fear Itself and you still don't know why he was twins.
Exactly. And also, like, I might have mentioned this on the Freddy's Revenge commentary, but he also absolutely loves his wife because he always cries every time she, like, wins an Oscar. Because his wife's a four-time Oscar-winning costume designer.
That's right. Yeah. You did mention that.
And I think the last thing she won for, he was, like, legit, like, clapping. Aww. And just tearing up.
That's adorable.
Here, have a real gun.
Take the real gun, bitch.
Uh-oh, now they're in trouble.
Yeah, get rid of him. He's a dickhead.
Exactly. That's for your racism.
Yeah. You know, people would have fondly remembered him as Kramer, but he had to fuck it up.
Mm. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's got his life back on track since then and has got forgiveness and stuff, but it's just an easy target to go for.
I don't know. I haven't really looked into it or anything, so I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, I know he's still acting because he appears in the odd thing here and there, but, you know, nothing where he's like, you know, has got a lot of attention or anything like that. I'm actually now curious on what other things Michael Richards has been in lately. Because pretty much he did disappear after that whole incident.
Yeah.
He came back for the Cooper Enthusiasm Seinfeld reunion, but I think that was about it.
Oh my gosh, he did a voice for B-movie.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much the whole Seinfeld cast was in that, pretty much.
That is true. Actually, after like that whole incident, he did 3 episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Did 3 episodes of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And he starred in the sitcom Kirstie Alley's sitcom. And then he did a film recently called Faith, Hope and Love, and that's pretty much it.
Not heaps.
Yeah, so he's kind of just been on the quiet side in terms of like his film and TV work.
They actually got the pictures of B. Arthur.
Nice.
Are we sure, though?
Remember that time during the late 80s and early 90s when they tried to make Judd Nelson a huge star?
Yeah. Nothing ever happened. He didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I think Judd Nelson's one of those actors who probably worked better as, like, a supporting character. Like, he's great in The Breakfast Club. Yeah. And, you know, and if he got, you know, like, he's great in that film and he's great in others, but I think a lot of the movies where he was, like, the lead in either were just box office bomb, very bad or mediocre, and that kind of back to being just a character actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work, I think.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway.
Well, I mean, he did Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire, then the Transformers movie. And then after that, it's just like mostly box office bombs. Although he had a role in New Jack City at the time.
Oh.
I remember being in that.
I mean, it must have been a supporting role, like a small role or something like that.
The fuck was that?
I have no idea. I don't see
drum solo underwater.
I don't know how that's even possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if the octopus in Aquaman can do it, so can Adam Sandler.
Do you have faith in him that much, do you?
Yes. Maybe the octopus in Aquaman can teach Adam Sandler how to do it. Good. Bros for life.
Indeed.
And this is the film where a friendship was born.
I've noticed we do have a few quiet moments in this film, but it's one of it's a kind of film we're not. It's not like action packed, blah 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 craziness.
Oh yeah, and also we haven't seen this movie for a
yeah,
little while.
And I think we're a little bit focused on watching it as well as talking.
Yeah, actually, it's been engrossed by it.
Yeah,
been a while.
It's just one of those really entertaining films that I think, you know, hopefully we get more of a, you know, like a re-release at some point, like just on its own, not in some shitty pack.
Yeah, well, now that, like, you know, it is a 20th Century Fox film, it probably will pop up on Disney Plus or Hulu in the US very soon, so.
Yeah, hopefully the nice new HD master.
Because, like, Disney Plus are all about HD masters at the moment. Like, even, like, the most obscurest of movie and TV titles have got a HD master on there at the moment.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, they're trying to make it look as best as possible.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, like I was saying before, like, I pretty much this movie is very much dated, but like I said, it's what makes this movie and others, like, you know, like in the 90s and that, because they work as time capsules of that specific period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always, like, an interesting insight into life then.
Exactly.
Or at least, like, when we watch back on it, we're like, yeah, I remember shit being like that.
Yeah, and even for people today who never grew up in the 90s or, like, you know, Gen X's or Gen Z's and stuff like that, millennials and that, they can watch this like, oh, this is what the 90s was like. It's weird, but I get it now.
This is where they find out there's a bit of trickery going on here.
Yeah, that soul patch is CGI.
It's disturbing and I don't like it.
I don't like the fact that, like you said, Marcy, it looks more like pubes than actual.
It really does. It looks like he snipped some pubes and just glued them to his face.
Being like, I know Judd Nelson likes to be a character actor, I wouldn't be surprised that's what he did.
Yeah. No, he's going to wipe his ass with the contract. Ew.
Ew.
Hmm.
I'm just going to wait 20 years, and then once something called YouTube and Spotify gets released, then I'm going to release all my stuff independently. Or go to Australia and go on Triple J.
Yeah, maybe.
Holy shit, that soul patch has gotten bigger since, like, a minute ago.
It might have. I'm scared.
It's going to grow full-blown beard by the end of this movie.
Mm.
Beginning to mutate.
Yes. They're beginning to multiply those hairs. And now I just realize that, like, Adam Sandler's got, like, a very faint, like, goatee.
Yeah.
I also forget, because I, like, looked up Steve Buscemi. Like, how old was he when he made this film? And I think he was actually 35, 36.
So, like, our age-ish.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, clearly, I need to go to acting school and become a famous actor.
Exactly. Look at all that gel in Judd Nelson's hair.
Yeah, imagine touching that.
It probably is, like, legit, like, hard as a rock.
Yeah, that's like Ray Martin hair.
Like, back when I, you know, had hair, before I started, like, fitting out.
You had hair?
Like, it's, when I, depending on the type of hair gel I would use, like, if I put too much in it, it would legit, like, keep it, like, stuck and hard.
Ew.
Hey, is that, oh, that's Kurt Loder.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so MTV are in this, but just not produced by them. Oh, yeah. John Landis made a reference foreshadowing Marshall Bell in the future.
Jesus. This is very weird.
Oh, that's an 80s outfit. That's not even 90s.
Bede, wear that outfit.
I will.
They seem to set this all up, like, pretty fucking quickly.
Well, stage managers can set up, like, band sets pretty quickly. Like, I suppose they just had it on standby somewhere.
Like, in, like, 5 minutes. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, full on.
Yeah. I think that takes a bit longer than that.
We're going to get performed before we get arrested.
How come he's the only one in a fucking costume?
I'm not sure. Well, that's going to be really funny. Like, they perform their song and then everyone realizes, holy shit, your song sucks, dude.
I know, right? So I was thinking the same thing. Like, what if their music really did suck?
That would be the funny. I mean, that's not how the movie ends or anything like that.
But no, but it would be hilarious.
Like, a funny gag. He's like, oh, our music is great. You should play it. Take hostages. And you find out, holy shit, your songs are bad, dude.
Your songs suck.
Not only is Judd Nelson's soul patch getting bigger, his suit is getting a little larger as well. It's going to be a huge suit and a tiny little head in the middle of it.
That's why you don't wear double-breasted suits.
Yeah. I mean, only David Byrne can pull off the whole giant suit thing, so.
Oh, here we go. Lip-syncing.
I ain't lip-syncing, man. Lip-syncing.
Gee, do you think they're taking a shot at anyone in particular?
Obviously. Well, I think at least up to this point, like, probably the most famous instance of lip-syncing in music was, of course, Milli Vanilli.
It was Milli Vanilli, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But that was, like, a few years beforehand, but it was still, like, a huge story at the time.
Oh, it was such a massive thing. Yeah.
Mm. We'll perform our music live, man. They don't seem to care.
The crowd's all fucked. They don't care.
They're all, like, high and drunk and shit. We don't know who you are, dude, but play anyway. Oh, look, it's Senor Spielbergo.
I was almost about to make the same joke.
I'll give you all credit to advancing.
Oh, jeez.
Seriously, like, anytime you watch a movie and there's, like, a director in the background and say, they always make it look like it's Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why I always bring up Señor Spielberg, his Mexican equivalent.
Drink up, Ben-Hur.
Yes. We're just gonna wreck the stage.
Well, why not? Wouldn't you?
Exactly. I like these guys now, even though I was a hostage for them.
That's because he got Dario Argento syndrome.
Exactly. Yes.
Just referencing your mistake from earlier.
Yes. Whee!
And then no one caught them and they died.
They died and went back to their home planet.
Yep.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah, imagine doing that now. Like, you would not want that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they went to prison. And got famous.
I want Cal, because, like, for example, since everyone in the group, like, likes them now, they could have got off on a technicality since they did press charges, but I suppose some thing, I don't know how the law works in this movie.
Well, I guess taking hostages kind
of... Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't be in prison for too long.
Well, the girlfriends can still go there somehow.
Although I'm still not happy about this toxic relationship between Brendan Fraser and Amy Locade.
No. Look at that dude. Got right, big mutton chops.
Somewhere like Johnny Cash was watching the scene as like, I did this first. It's been done. It's been done.
Yeah, he totally sat there just to see this movie.
Yes.
So he's like the manager now, isn't he?
Yes. This concert's going to be made into a film. It's going to be called the Lone Ranger's Redemption.
They served 3 months for kidnapping, theft, and assault with hot pepper sauce.
They only got 3 months because they're white guys.
Mm-hmm. And the album went triple platinum. And that's film. Like...
That don't mind me, I'm just rocking out to the song.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a fun revisit. Definitely enjoyed watching it again. It is a lot of fun. And, Lenny Von Motorhead.
And there's White Judge as Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. You know, when we revisit, like, stuff from, 20, 30, 40, whatever years ago, like, there's definitely always a case of, like, ooh, that's problematic by today's standards. But this didn't really have much of that at all. Maybe one or two words might have just been a bit, but that was it. It wasn't really, it's not, like, offensive watching it back now or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think
is
pretty interesting in itself.
It's lighthearted, too. It's not a mean...
Yeah, exactly, way. Yeah.
And yeah, the humor's very, very PG-13-ish.
But it's still pretty enjoyable, and I had fun watching that again.
Me too, and I was just like, oh yeah, definitely. And I just reading up, apparently when this movie came out, it was a box office bomb.
Mm.
It debuted at the 10th spot in the US box office. Ooh. It cost $11.2 million to make, and it only grossed $1.9 million on its opening weekend.
Shit. Was this a case of something doing a lot better on VHS?
I would assume yes, because it even got very negative reviews, because it's got a 23% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But that was for reviews at the time, but I think reviews have gotten a bit warmer since then. But this one, I can definitely say it's definitely a cult film.
Yeah.
Through TV airings, it's definitely gained an audience.
I feel like it did make more of an impact on, like, home video and stuff, and then it was just on TV a lot. Because it's just one of those really easy-to-watch films.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's an easy, breezy film. Like, you can sit there and watch it and just still have a good time, nonetheless.
Mm. Yeah. If it came on, you just sit it through and finish it.
Yeah.
So.
And also it ends with the Ramones on the soundtrack.
Because why not?
Exactly. And also, the Lone Ranger is a trademark to this company. So they
and the characters of Beavis and Butthead, courtesy of MTV.
Exactly.
There you go.
And Kurt Loder. We offered him out for this movie too.
And that's the credits. That is the film. Almost there, though. Usually for these, we wait for the credits. And
let's all go to the lobby. Yep.
Let's all go to the lobby. Produced and released by 20th Century Fox.
Now Disney.
Yeah. And that is a wrap on our film, on our September audio commentary, fan voted audio commentary.
Indeed. That was a lot of fun. And I'm really happy that we decided to kind of switch it around and go for a Brendan Fraser month for this.
Yes. And tune in next month when we will tackle a horror sequel.
Indeed, being that it's the Halloween season, so we'll be focusing on that for our theme for October. Ooh.
Yes, and make sure you head to facebook.com/groups/thesupernetworkgroup so you can vote in our monthly polls and post all sorts of cool stuff in our group.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that's a wrap on this episode of the Super Podcast. Thank you, Marcy, always being an awesome host,
as per
usual. And also, thank you, John, for coming on and for your first ever podcast with us.
Yeah, no, thank you. I enjoyed it. I hadn't seen that film in a while, so it was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
And we'll definitely bring you back for other podcasts in the future.
Yes, we
will. Yeah, please. I enjoyed that.
Good. Damn straight you did.
Now I know your format and structure. Yes. I'll be keen for another one. Definitely.
Wait, we have a structure and a format?
What's that?
Somewhat.
It's all easy going here.
Well, that's the thing. We have a format and structure for like our other shows, but there's commentaries. There is no structure whatsoever.
No.
We just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You just watch the movie and have fun.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
That's good.
Yes.
But Marcy, where can people find us on the internet this week?
As usual, you can find us at our base of operations at supermarcy.com. That is supermarcey.com. Always check the podcast show notes. You can always follow the Super Network on all your main social network platforms. We're on Facebook under the Super Network. We're on Twitter at @SM_SuperNetwork. And we're on Instagram at @the.super.network. We're on TikTok at the Super Network. We're on YouTube under the Super Network as well. So you can find all sorts of weird, wacky things on there. And of course, you can find all of our podcasts streaming on all the top podcast streaming platforms. You can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. And if you want to follow me on Letterboxd, because I like Letterboxd friends, I think I am super_Marcy. Back to Bede.
John, where can people find you on the internet this week?
We have a podcast called Indicator Cast. So it's a podcast dedicated to just sort of older films, 70s and 80s type British films. But yeah, you can find us there on the App Store and whatnot. So yes, look for that on all the podcast networks.
Awesome.
And that is the Indicator Cast.
The Indicator Cast. And if people want to find me personally, they can find me on my Twitter page at twitter.com/Benjamin. Or my personal writers page on Facebook at facebook.com/terribleaussie. And of course, you can find me at Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/bejamine. And of course, you can find all my writings over at the Super Network with all my columns and reviews. Then keep a lookout very soon at the time of this episode, my list for the 2021 31 Days of Horror will be unleashed very soon, and everyone can see what I have in store for watching for October this year.
Yes, and mine will be up soon as well.
So, yes, that's a wrap on this episode. And until next time, I've been terrible, Marcy's been super, and John has been a Blu-ray collector.
Yes, that is accurate.
Indeed. And we'll see you all next time. See you, everybody.
Everyone.
Bye.
Cool. See you then.
Oh, man, look, it's the demo's wasted.
Well, what are we going to do now?
Run!
Hello, police.
I'm surrounded. I don't want to go to jail. I'm fragile.
Everybody on the floor right now.
Do you mind if I sit in a chair? I don't want to get all crowded.
If she doesn't sit on the floor, I don't know why I have to.
Sit down! Everybody else gets to sit in a chair except for you.
Is everybody okay in there?
He wants to know what your demands are for releasing the hostages.
What's he mean by hostages?
It's the inbreed.
We asked for a whole bunch of weird stuff. This way we can plead insanity later.
Ooh. Number 13, naked pictures of B. Arthur.
Excuse me?
I think you're exceeding the maximum weight limit for that belt.
No! Is everybody having a good time in there?
What are you thinking about?
Swimming pools.
He doesn't wear a helmet, does he?
You guys are crazy, man. Y'all are all woohoo.
It's a plastic gun!
A plastic gun?
Now what are you gonna do about that? Chunk style?
Improvised.
The Lone Rangers?
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's three of you. You're not exactly lone.
No idea what you're saying right now.
Airheads.
I gotta deal with them. We gotta send one person out.
I'll go.
One of the hostages, doof.
Sorry.
The music made them do it.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi, so just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. You can also find the link in the show notes. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy Shark, do 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 do. Surfy Shark, do 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 do. And now back to the show.